welcome to this episode of Retain FM. My name is Pete Everett, and today I want to talk to you a little bit about distributing content. You see, this is a topic that I get asked about quite frequently in my day job, and frankly, it's something that's so easy to remedy, but can have such a massive benefit to your website, your clients' websites, any new content that you put out there on the internet. And I'm going to start this episode with a confession right up at the top of the shop, which is I'm not brilliant at doing this with my own stuff. So I don't want anybody to listen to this podcast episode and then come back in a Facebook group or a messenger message to me and say, Pete, you know what you're doing. You should be doing this for yourself. I know I'm rubbish. We all have our flaws, and prioritizing some of the distribution of my own content isn't something that it's not something I'm very good at. So I'll hold my hands up and say I need to take some of my own advice on this. So, firstly, why do we need to have some form of protocol for distributing content? Why is it a good idea? Well, firstly, just generating content and hoping for the best isn't a great strategy when it comes to actually driving traffic and proving your worth and your ROI to your clients. That's, any strategy that involves having your fingers crossed, I would suggest isn't really the best way of doing things. So you need to have something that's a lot more tangible, something that you can control a lot more, and that's why a distribution protocol is a good idea. What it actually does is it helps fill that gap of time, that period of time between you actually publishing a piece of content and then it appearing in the search engines, which could take anything from a few hours to a few days. And that's the period of time you're looking at. And then you can always, have a distribution protocol that goes beyond that period of time to help drive traffic, over a more sustained period if you wish. But the primary target is that period of time. And also, having this plan in place means that it's far easier to plan in advance. So the way our content guys do it is they actually write all of the social media posts for every piece of content that we write as they write the piece of content. And that's why I'm rubbish at doing it, because I'm responsible for the podcast content and not one of my very good team who does everything correctly. And I'm trying to, scrat around doing the best I can. So, hey, there's the second half of the confession. But it is just far easier to plan. If you know that you need to write 6 tweets and 2 Facebook posts and a LinkedIn post and a Google Plus post, for example, then it's far easier to do that as you're generating the content, when it's all fresh in your head, when you have the files open and the graphics to hand and all of that kind of stuff. So it's just good practice. So what is a content distribution protocol? You've now heard me say those words maybe 4 or 5 times in this episode already. So what is a content distribution protocol? Well, it's actually just a method. It's a bit like an SOP, if you like, but it's or an operating procedure. It's a regular method or schedule of activity that is designed to help boost initial traffic to a new piece of content. Now, that piece of content could be a video, could be a podcast episode, could be a blog post, could be absolutely anything, but it's how do you, when you've hit publish or upload or whatever it is on the piece of software that you're using, how do you get those first eyeballs on there? You see, the benefits of having this protocol in place is that it helps drive traffic quickly. It's about getting those people that engage with you, that that are on your email list or follow you on social media, to get those people to look at this brand new shiny piece of content, almost get that early release, this pre-sale, this whatever it might be, of this new piece of content. You can be the first to see it, to consume it, to understand it, to have the benefit in your business. It's also dead easy to set up and automate. In fact, I've automated this so much so for some clients that it's baked right into WordPress, and then we have a Zapier automation or an Integromat automation set up that actually goes, is triggered by you hitting publish, and then there's a field in there for every post that needs to be created. And you know, when you hit publish, it goes and gets the first tweet and the featured image and the link and posts it on Twitter, and then it goes and gets the you know, a few more pieces of information, posts it on Facebook, and then 3 hours later it goes and gets the next tweet, and a day after that it goes and gets the next tweet, and you can actually put all that together in advanced custom fields and Integromat or Zapier, as I say. And if anybody would like to know more about that, or you'd like me to do a screencast about it and put it in the group, please just let me know and I'll happily share how I practically put that together. It also means that when Google does index this piece of content, that there is already some traffic data assigned to Google Analytics for it. So that means that rather than just Google seeing something that has been launched and actually all the visits have been you, because let's face it, we all check out our own stuff when we've hit the publish button. Why wouldn't we? But when Google actually sees that, it already has a bounce rate and it already has a page on site and it already knows which links are clicked and what the scroll depth is. It already knows what people have clicked on when they have exited that page. Have they clicked on the navigation? Have they clicked on an internal link? All that kind of stuff. Have they clicked on an image? Whatever it might be. It's helping, you know, you're already spoon feeding Google ahead of spoon feeding Google, if you see what I mean, when it comes to this. So I don't want anybody to think that this is going to sort of revitalize an SEO strategy or revitalize a content path or whatever it is you've sold to your client. But actually, in terms, it's going back to those cores that I said earlier, in terms of demonstrating a return on investment, in terms of equipping yourself with the data to be able to feed back to clients each month. That's another thing. If you publish your last piece of content for a monthly retainer client on the 25th day of the month and you're meeting with them in 4 days' time to discuss the next month, actually having a content distribution protocol gives you something to talk about, because otherwise you will just sit there saying, oh, well, we only launched that 4 days ago. We don't have any data from it yet. And you just seem a little bit, I don't know, like you don't really give too much of a toss, I suppose, is the British way of putting it. So, you know, again, it's relying back on those, that crossing your fingers and hoping strategy. It's not a good place to be. So what might a content distribution protocol look like? Now, if you go and visit the show notes for this this episode, which is on peteeverett.com/131, then you will see that there is a graphic in there for what a distribution protocol might look like. It's a graphic I used in a presentation a month or two ago. It does have Tumblr on there, which I realize is something that people might not use all the time, but you do get the idea of what it is that we're trying to put together. Now, there's a few things we need to understand, I suppose, or agree on before we dive into actually what it might look like. The first thing is a tweet. So according to Stats Online, the average life of a tweet is about 7 minutes. So because of that, we can generate a lot more Twitter content than we can on other platforms. The average life of a Facebook post is around about 3 days. It's a similar length of time, 3 to 4 days, for a LinkedIn post. And then on Google Plus or something like that, your Google My Business profile, you probably need to only post once. So that gives you a bit of a sort of schedule about how you're putting things together. So the graphic that we have in the show notes talks about having 6 tweets for a piece of content. It talks about having 2 Facebook posts that are about, well, on this graphic, they're a month apart, but they could be anything more than 3 or 4 days apart. A Google Plus post on launch, and then we've got a Tumblr one, which is 2 hours after launch. I don't know why it's on 2 hours after launch. It was just the way the graphic was put together. It looks quite good. So the idea is that on publish, when we hit that publish button, one tweet, the first Facebook post and the Google Plus post, they go live. there. And as I say, you can either do that through software like Hootsuite or Planable or whatever it is you might be using, or you can automate it through WordPress and Zapier into the accounts if you wish as well. Then the same day, 2 hours later, a second tweet goes out. So now I've now done two tweets in 2 hours about the same piece of content. And in this example, the Tumblr post goes out, whether or not you're using Tumblr. Then 1 day after publish, another tweet goes out. Then 1 week after publish, another tweet goes out. Then a month after publish, another tweet and another Facebook post goes out. And then 2 months after publish, another tweet goes out. Now, when I put this, when we were putting this together, I was talking to people that didn't use Instagram. So that's why I haven't mentioned Instagram in any of that. In fact, you could use Instagram and Instagram stories and reels, and depending on your following, whether you can put links in there and all of that kind of stuff. So you can factor that in. So please just make, you know, take the graphic as a guide, not as a finished protocol for every client that you're going to work with. The idea is, it also doesn't mention LinkedIn either, for that matter. So what you really need to understand for each client is, where is the best quality of traffic going to come from? Because on the same note, you are driving traffic, so therefore you want it to be good traffic, because that traffic can help you with some of your initial rankings. So if you're going to push it to a place where it's irrelevant, and actually that traffic's going to bounce quite a lot, or have a very short paid time on page, etc., etc., then actually not pushing it to those sources would be a better idea than just trying to get every eyeball that you can. The other thing that I haven't put on here is email. Now, this is something that I do quite a lot with the podcast episodes. For those of you that are on my email list, you will know that within a day or two of a podcast episode going live, I do include the podcast in an email that goes out as well. Just as a little of, hey, it's here if you want it, kind of thing. Sometimes the entire email is about the podcast content. Other times it's literally just a PS or a line somewhere in there as a little reminder that, look, this is something I've created. So that's what it might look like. And it's up to you to discuss with your client or to figure out from the data that you see which platforms and what the frequency for each one could be. And it might be that you run different protocols for different clients. That's absolutely fine. But as I say, if you can document all of this and get it in place, then it means that when the whoever's writing your content can then go and write 6 tweets, 2 Facebook posts, a LinkedIn post or a Google Plus post, etc., etc., all in one go, and it just gets scheduled, and then it can be forgotten about, and off you go. So that's what it is. Now, that said, there's 2 major rules of engagement that I do want to put, I do want to emphasize with this. The first is that you must never, ever, 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 ever share the same message twice. So you must never put the exact same post out 6 times on Twitter, for example. That's called spamming. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's not a great thing to do. It doesn't really build a lot of credibility. So yeah, let's not go there. So you do need to create different social posts, but they can all link to the same piece of content. So that's the first rule of engagement. And I do have some content ideas that I'll run through very quickly in a moment, just as we wrap this episode up. The second massive, major rule of engagement that I want to impress on you is that if you are automating anything, absolutely anything, please keep an eye on world events. And if something happens that means that automated processes aren't suitable, aren't appropriate for a particular given time, then please stop your automations from running. And that's just a mark of global respect. But you know, God forbid something like another 9/11 or 7th of July or whatever it might be happens again in the world. You know, I don't want an automation then to pop up with me chirping on about some SEO marketing tactic. It's just disrespectful. So anything that you automate, and this isn't just about distribution protocols. This is about anything that you may automate that goes out online. It could be emails, social media, blog posts, you name it. If it's not appropriate, in a world event, because of a world event that's happening, know how to stop these things. That is the key to that. Zapier's dead easy because you can whip through and just flick them all off. Happy days, job done. So, yeah, that's my second major rule of engagement. I know it's a one in a million opportunity, one in a million chance of something happening, but let's just be honest. These things do occasionally happen from time to time. We all wish they didn't, but they do. And when things like that happen, we need to pull together as a community, and actually having automated marketing messages going out isn't necessarily the best thing to do. So they're the two main rules of engagement. Let's just return to that slightly more positive first rule of engagement about never sharing the same message twice. So I actually got these from one of our content writers when I sort of said to them, look, when you're writing these things, obviously you write lots and lots of content. How do you put some of these things together and do them so quickly to make sure that you get some variety in there and some engagement, all that kind of thing? And they came up with five very quick and easy content ideas. So the first is what they gave them all slight names. So straight and easy, which is just the post title and a link to it. Simple. There you go. There's your first tweet. Whatever for this episode, my first tweet could be, what is a distribution protocol and how does it help your business? And a link to peteeverett.com/ whatever the episode number is. Easy. Straight and easy. The second, the question. So ask an engaging question to stir a conversation about the topic, and then include a link to the post itself. Cite a fact. So this is number three. So share a fact or a figure that is included within the content, and then post a link to read the rest of the article or to listen to it or whatever it might be. Perfect. Share a quote. Grab a pull quote from the article and turn it into a social image. And then share that on your socials, put it on Instagram, whatever, with a link. Absolutely fine. And then the last one they've called Add Intrigue, which they've said, write a teaser message that grabs the attention of your readers. Now, maybe you need to be a slightly more skilled copywriter for that final one. But that there's five very quick and easy ideas. Just, you know, there's five tweets written just there. And what, it's taken me 2 minutes to run through them. That's it. So that is what a distribution protocol is. I hope that at the end of this episode, you feel far more equipped in order to put something together for your clients or for yourself. I'd love to know if you have your own distribution protocol in place. Do you actually have a process about how you distribute your content? In which case, please pop over to my Facebook group at peteeverett.com/group. It'll send you onto Facebook, or search Facebook for Retain FM and let me know, because I'd love to know if you have a different way of doing things. So it's been a delight to talk to you. It's been the first solo show that I've done in a little while. I hope you've enjoyed it and found it valuable. And I look forward to speaking to you next week.